The other thing that people forget about self-defense, and I just put it in one of my social media posts, is self-defense is about the situation affecting your life as little as possible. It's not about winning. People think it's about winning, right? So, that guy took my parking spot. I have to dominate that person. No. It's about not going to jail, not getting sued, not getting hurt, not whatever.
Velkommen til første episode i 2022. Mitt navn er Dag Terje Helle fremdeles, og jeg er glad for å slippe mitt intervju med Randy King fra Edmonton, Alberta i Canada. Randy, han driver et selskap som heter 8020 Conflict Management Strategies, og han lærer vekk hva som egentlig er selvforsvar. Og altså realiteten i det. Han jobber med ulike grupper, høyt rangerte innenfor politi, lov og orden og så videre. Og så jobber han også med det som vi ser på som indianere, eller første nasjonsmennesker på Canada. Og vi snakker om det å lære vekk det som er realiteten i selvforsvar, om vold og sånt, når man underviser. Og man skal ikke lyve for noen noe som helst, men jeg håper at intervjuet her, særlig til deg som lærer vekk selvforsvar, vær sikker på det du holder på med. Det gjelder meg selv også når jeg underviser selvforsvar. Så det er årets første episode. Heng på, følg med videre for flere episoder. Jeg har ikke stoppet enda. Dette er episode nummer 73, Randy King. Mr. Randy King, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here, getting some coffee in.
I'm happy to have you here. We I don't know how we get, well.
I have no idea.
I don't even know how I heard about you, but I think I heard you through some of, I would guess, Joe Saunders maybe?
Right.
Probably.
Joe's a big deal in this space, and he has had a lot of great people on, but I've been on there a couple of times. You probably heard me there, or if you read Rory Miller's books, I wrote a chapter in one. I think it was principle-based training, maybe. I don't know. I'm on the internet a lot. I'm there. So you might have just saw me through like random social media stuff. Oh, as he shows me, yeah. This is only audio.
So I got Facing Violence and Forced Decisions, even though I haven't read them yet because I've got too many books, but I have them in my
so many library. Books.
So whenever I don't go to church anymore. So if I had them out here, I would remove them.
Right.
Yeah.
Rory's written so many books. We're actually doing so I have like every instructor, like a Patreon or whatever. We have a coach's corner where we bring on instructors, mm-hmm. teach them how to be better coaches, sell, etc. Okay. And we're actually doing a critical book review right now where we reread old self-defense books and like take a modern look at them. And right now we're reading Meditations on Violence by Rory Miller, yeah. which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's fun.
I was working with on refugee center. Well, when the refugees, they get to Norway or wherever they go, first they get to these like emergency camps.
Right.
And then they move to permanent government run by government or private they own. And then they go into some housing. So I brought Meditations on Violence to my workplace and it wasn't a good idea, I think. And unfortunately I had a training knife in my bag.
Oh no.
So I had to call me to the carpet. I don't know what you call
it. Where are you located again? What country are you in?
Norway.
Norway. So they're Norway. Pretty they're pretty strict on the word violence and that kind of stuff over there.
Yeah, you can say that. So even the word warrior or
really?
Well, yes. As soon as you mention, so I've told you that I'm working on this anti-bullying program.
I think yes.
Yeah. So it's called Warrior Heart. Warrior no. Krieger. Yeah. The Norwegian word for warrior is Krieger. And because they hear about wars. So right. A teacher he's a martial artist, he's been living in Japan for years, and he said like for the past 40 years they tried to incorporate some martial arts into schools, but yeah.
So really
like, yeah
So forgive my Canadian ignorance of geography, but aren't you guys like Viking descent? Like, isn't like warrior culture part of your whole deal?
And one of the first kings, he went, he was a slayer. He went around. It was either believe or be killed.
Right.
Yeah.
Wild.
You should, there's a show, if you got HBO, there's a Norwegian show called Beforeners.
Yeah.
You could, it's in Norwegian, but you got subtitles, and
of course
they're bringing all these Vikings into. It's pretty sick, actually.
Into modern time, so like they're bringing Vikings into the modern time, and like showing up.
The show is about that. They're Vikings from Vikings. So they have like you have this community. They're living in the capital of Norway, and you have the Vikings, and then you have the old Norse mythologies, and then you have the typical Norwegians. Yeah.
That's oh my god, the damage that would be done by people, like the thought processes alone of like just what the affordances are, what the allowances on violence are, what the cultural customs would be just, oh man, they'd be canceled. Woke culture would crush them in a minute.
But the show is great, but back to we're war descendants. Still, there's nothing called self-defense in schools. You're not allowed to punch your body in the face.
Right.
Well, you're not allowed to defend yourself. That's most. Wow. Even though we have karate schools, we have MMA gyms, and now they legalized MMA, so you can go full contact in the MMA.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But it's not the school system.
But I think elbows are prohibited.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And full contact boxing, it got legalized a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. So, because I'm a Canadian, I need to really point that out because everybody thinks I'm from the U.S. I'm not. I'm from America, but not the United States of America.
Yeah.
And so we have two different people here, but different. We have two cultures. We have the French culture, the Quebecois, and we have like everybody else. And Quebec's one part. There's a lot of them, though. The Quebecois, they've always run under Napoleonic law. This is important to self-defense. You need to know, like, what kind of laws your country runs off of for any kind of, like, use of force or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is kind of on topic. I don't know what the topic is. We're kind of on topic, I guess.
Yeah.
And so Napoleonic law has always allowed prize fighting. Where British common law, it's a bit dicier. So we've had MMA for a long time, but only in the French part. And then eventually the English speaking part. Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange stuff.
Strange.
It's weird people's hangups when it comes to violence. And it's weird to see the shifts in it. And I'll sound smart for a couple seconds. So it's weird to see the shifts in it. And from there, it's very weird to see the repercussions of that. So for example, when I grew up in elementary, you were allowed to fist fight. Teachers let you do it. Didn't matter. So they're like, whatever, they'll figure it out. And through that, though, when I was in grade 4, 5, and 6, we can't really do that much damage to each other, right? Like, nobody's getting curb stomped. Nobody's getting anything really bad happening to them. No. Ideally, unless you're in a really weird school district. You get your basic bully fights. I had my arms pinned down. A guy, like, broke my nose. Nothing major. But then during that time, you learn the rules of violence, right? You learn like, oh, when a guy's down, you don't kick him. You learn, right? Because like the group, the social aspect of it kind of stops it.
Yeah.
When you do zero tolerance, in my opinion, don't cancel us. when you remove that learning part from youth about violence, about team sports, about that kind of contact, the men especially grow up with an unreasonable fear of violence because they've never been tested. They don't know what their chin is like. They don't know. So they tend to roll deep. They have more people. They carry weapons. The violence escalates. So as a bouncer, for 11 years, you saw it. Like the generation before me, they get in a bar fight, couple of punches, you get to the ground, let's grab a beer, it's over, right? The younger generation, they were so scared of getting punked and hurt. They didn't understand violence. They didn't even punch in the face. So they'd go back and get a lead pipe or some friends or whatever. So they didn't lose their ego or their reputation, right? Which is very important. So anyways, I find it fascinating that like they think by removing violence that they're helping. But in my experience, my anecdotal goon gone good guy that kicks people experience, no PhDs or anything. In my experience, it's making it worse in general because people aren't learning. And you always fear the unknown, right? If you don't know, if I said there was a hole and it was 10 feet deep. I need you to jump in. You could do the math, right? 10 feet deep, that's pretty far, right? Let's say, let's not use feet. Let's use like 2.5 meters, right? So it's 2.5 meters down. You could do the math. But if I say jump in that hole, I don't know how deep it is, you're going to be like, unknown is way worse than known parameters, right?
Yeah, so it is.
If I learn the parameters of violence on the schoolyard, then I understand what it's like. Oh, I'm going to get into a bar fight. Okay, they're going to probably take me down. I know the rules are they don't kick me. Maybe they'll break the rules, but you know the parameters. You can make the decisions. Yeah. But if you don't know, you overreact, right? You bring people, and it just, to me, again, in my expert opinion, quote unquote, I'm air quoting, no video. in my expert opinion, I think it's actually a travesty that they've taken. They don't let kids settle that stuff anymore because nobody's learning the proper social etiquette for violence, and it's just escalating very highly.
It's true. It's true. I can recall being bullied, picked on in school. I actually think I got punched in the stomach a couple of times, maybe kicked even.
Right.
But I put it all on the carpet when I was Christian. I think I was suppressed. That's the shit. I used to suppress a lot of things. And once I stopped suppressing things, man, that was a relief.
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine.
But it's like getting punched in school and then being in church, I think I wouldn't say I was paranoid, but I had this like deep belief that God would protect me if I was working indoors or...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like,
I know this is an interview about me, but I'm very interested in you right now. This is as also a podcast host, my natural interviewer is coming out. Yeah. How long were you in that for?
20 years.
Ooh, how you look like you're like 20 years old right now. How old are you?
34.
Oh man, you're looking good. You're wearing gray beard. There's so many. Violence and sex are like the two weird things in our society. And that seems to be pretty universal, right? And either people want to control it or become hedonistic with it. They embrace it. They run. And I find it very interesting because I work with a really wide demographic of people. I work with CEOs, martial athletes, military police, and then like youth at risk. And I work with a lot of sex workers here because sex work is legal in Canada. And so I do a lot of work with them. And that's one of the things I find it interesting. And I mentioned the word affordances before. What affordances means is like what your brain will allow something to be. Does that make sense?
Affordances.
So it means like what your brain will allow it to be. So let's say, for example, no video, so I'll describe. I have a toothpick in my hand right now for some reason. If I only see this as a toothpick, then I can only use this as a toothpick. So my affordance is this is a toothpick.
Yeah.
If I, let's say I'm a big Rick and Morty fan, I'm drinking out of a Rick and Morty cup right now. If let's say I'm Summer and I have this in my mouth and an alien jumps on and dies on this toothpick, like the face sucker episode, I recommend watching it, listeners. Then I know this is a weapon. I can poke somebody, right? So now the affordance of this toothpick is it's a weapon and it's a toothpick. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the more ways you can look at something, the better it becomes. And in my experience, I have a lot of, I don't like small talk. I like medium to heavy talk only.
Yeah.
So I like to have like deep conversations. When I ask a lot of my male clients what they're willing to do. So we do this thing called design a crime, which is we go through a crime set and we like show them how you would build it. Then we kind of pick on the martial arts a little bit. Like, do you have any moves that would stop this? Usually it's no. But so we're doing it. And almost always the men are like, I would beat somebody. I would mug somebody. I would whatever. And all the women default to, I would prostitute myself. I would go. And not always, it switches. But in general, women tend to default to sex over violence. Men tend to default to violence over sex. Very few men are like, oh, I just, you know, prostitute myself and make some money for my kids. Right. And very, very few women are like, I'm going to go smash a dude's head in, right? Like, and so it's funny because you see the faces of like the men being like, you would sell your body. And they're like, you'd kill a dude? What's wrong with you? So it's such an interesting connection or disconnect when it comes to that. So affordances, right? Like, what is better? Is it better to prostitute yourself than murder people? I don't know what your affordance is on that. But the women seem to have a pretty good logical point. Nobody's coming back for revenge after a pleasurable night, right?
Yeah. Good thing this is an explicit show.
Oh, it's explicit. Oh, yeah, then I was trying to calm it down.
But it's So what's your work? You mentioned you're working with CEOs, law enforcement.
Yeah, I work with everybody. So I have been a full-time self-defense instructor for, how old am I now? 15 years, 16 years. My birthday's next week, 16 years. I've done it all. I was a bouncer. I did close protection. Then I moved into self-defense, had a gym here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, where I live. Had that for 10 years, 12 years, actually. Just shut it down. Not COVID related, but kind of in line with COVID. And then luckily, I've been very good, very blessed to have an international following. So I travel all around the world teaching. I've been to Europe. I've not been to Norway yet, but I've been to Denmark.
We're in Denmark. I was living in Denmark for 4 years.
Oh, really? I was in Denmark 3 years ago. I was outside of Copenhagen, inside Copenhagen. And then we went to way off in the
Odder.
Yeah, we went there too. Taught there, Germany, Netherlands. Sweden? I've been all over the place.
Sweden.
I have not done Sweden yet either. I have a friend who hopefully. So I was supposed to do Sweden in 2020, but some things happened.
So cool. But and also been, as we spoke about before starting our interview, you've been working with Mr. Rory Miller.
Yes. So me and Rory actually go way back. I'm very lucky. Actually, Rory took me under his wing a while ago. So I was already teaching self-defense for about 5 or 6 years. I read Rory's book, Meditation on Violence, highly recommend, even through Critical Book Club, it still holds up. That book was so good. It changed the way I looked at self-defense because the way I was teaching originally was very male dominant, right? Like, you know, don't let anything happen, blah, 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 bar fight, person in an alley, etc. Read his book, that put me on a new path where now I have a company called 80/20 Conflict Management Strategies. That is the company. And we teach a lot of the softer skills of self-defense now, the more important stuff, I think. And we look at violence in a real way. So I have a course called Realities of Violence, online course, so much promotion so fast. It's on sale. You guys, I'll actually send a coupon code to DAG. Do I say DAG or DAG?
Yeah,
do I
say DAG. DAG. Yeah.
Well, send a coupon code to DAG. You can put on this podcast. It's like 75% off if you guys want it. It's 4 hours. Anyways, I teach. So that's what I teach. So I teach that to everybody. So I teach communications, boundary setting, basic self-defense, what we call the 90 percenters, right? The most likely ways you're going to be attacked. Threat assessment. My threat assessment course is probably one of the things I'm known for. Both threat assessment and my freeze model, I think, are the two things that set me apart and put me on a world stage. Yeah, so anyway, this is what I do. I'm a full-time presenter, public speaker, and self-defense coach on violence and the soft skills surrounding self-defense.
Dang. So, for the past, I'm not going to talk much about myself, but it's interesting to see when I was in church, I was training martial arts, but they kind of told me, like, here we go again, like.
Right.
But they told me, you shouldn't train martial arts. It's not good for you. I had a girlfriend. Some of my Christian girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, right. They were more, they didn't want me to train martial arts. They said it's not good for you because your mind gets fucked up and so on. Yeah, so I felt kind of like a bit paranoia being a Christian because I believe, somebody's out there to get me. But since I left it and my mind became clearer, it's better to see the realities of things because I was living in a bubble with, everything was, so it's quite interesting. It's weird, but it's interesting.
I agree. Dag, we're going to trade. So I know you don't want to talk about yourself on your own podcast, but I'm going to put you on my podcast. I need to ask you a gajillion questions. Just really quickly, what denomination of Christianity were you in?
Pentecostal.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah. Praying for, people are being possessed by the devil and casting the devil out, not with holy water, but not, it's praying for people, laying hands on them.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not I would not be considered a religious man. So I don't really know a lot, but that's fascinating to me. And it's not just that. It's like we're talking about the subculture of violence. This is what I do, right? Like every day, all I'm doing is reading violence. And so people will be like, I know you said I should watch the show, and I'm going to watch the show, you said, but like, oh, did you watch the show about like the murder of blah, blah, blah? I'm like, yeah. I just spent 6 hours reading rape cases. I'm not going to go home and be like, murder time, right? But the thing with the self-defense thing, and the thing with this is like, so you did traditional martial arts. And traditional martial arts is such a loaded word, because what does that mean, right? Is Muay Thai traditional? Could be. Some people say yes, some people say no. So traditional martial arts, let's put that aside. We don't need to talk about that. I started martial arts when I was 10. I have the standard like martial arts instructor story. I was bullied, took martial arts, became a bouncer. I got stabbed a couple times. Went through that, saw the violence that happened there. My bouncing days were crazy. We can go into that later if you want. The city I live in is an oil town, which means there's a lot of money here with a lower level of education. So, you know, drugs exist, people make bad decisions. So with all of that, like going forward, traditional martial arts, even that thought process becomes almost religious and dogmatic, right? Like karate guys think the karate is all they need. They don't need to learn about the ground or weapons because they got this like mystic coach. I've had two occasions where martial arts have failed me grievously. One put me so damaged, I was in a hospital for a couple of days. And the other one was I got stabbed, all because of BS martial arts. So that's kind of my talking point, right? My talking point is, you know, that's why I call everything realities of violence, realities of communication, because people don't understand the realities of it, right? They go to the gym, they go to wherever, they get fed whatever information is there. And then it's just blatantly not true. I was a national champion here in Taekwondo. My first bouncing job, I got beat up by a fat old biker, like 40 years older than me. And I was in shape and a champ, and he kicked the crap out of me, because violence is so very different in real life than it is on the mats, et cetera. Yeah. Right? When it's consensual, when there's weapons, when there's other things, like he had a bunch of rings on. I'd never been punched by rings before. It totally shut my brain down because I thought a punch was a glove. Right. Yeah. So when it comes to this self-defense stuff, when it comes to violence, it's, you need to look at what's actually happening and not what people are fantasizing, right? Not what like, oh, Masayama punched a bull out. So he like, who cares? I don't, that's not helpful to me in any way.
I guess the other friends that are karate, they are Kyokushin karate guys. But Kyokushin great guys. Of course.
He can do in the stomach, it'll knock them down. They're tough as hell. Don't get me wrong. If they get into like a bar fight where they can square up, they're going to dominate.
Yeah.
But that's not how a predator is going to attack, right? If your predator hears, oh, it is karate, cool. What's that? Brick to the back of the head, right? Yeah, it's going to be a different situation. The other thing that people forget about self-defense, and I just put in one of my social media posts, is self-defense is about the situation affecting your life as little as possible. It's not about winning. People think it's about winning, right? So, that guy took my parking spot. I have to dominate that person. No. It's about not going to jail, not getting sued, not getting hurt, not whatever.
Yeah.
So making sure that your decision tree is based off of this, not a 30-second to a minute bar fight, which is your average, shouldn't equal 8 months in court, right? Like you don't want this 1 5-minute thing to then affect your life exponentially throughout the rest of it. So when people are training, they're training in skill set, which is good. And I'm not going to pick on traditional martial arts is physical skills. They're all great. When I go to gyms, I've taught, like I said, all around the world. I think I've been in like 45 different cities.
Dang.
It's crazy. If I teach a Taekwondo guy, I'm not going to be like, oh, Taekwondo sucks. Do my stuff. I'll be like, Taekwondo's context is this. Here's the gap. You need to fill it. Now do these things and go back to your Taekwondo. Same thing with jujitsu, same thing, whatever, right? Like, okay, you're a BJJ black belt. That's awesome. This is a pokey thing. Understand how this comes out, understand how they access it, then your jujitsu is fine, right? So there's a lot of instructors in my field that are like, oh, traditional martial arts is bullshit. It's not. The context and the way it's trained aren't great, but the physical, like an elbow is an elbow is an elbow. It doesn't matter what language you call it, it's going to hurt, right? So people need to take a really good assessment of what they're training, what they're doing, why they're doing it. And realize that if it's self-defense, not a tournament, not a fight, not an ego-driven thing, not fighting is the best goal, right? Because then you're not going to get sued. You're not going to get, like you said, right? I'm not sure, but I could guess that your family is probably religious. That's probably what drove you into that area, right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Really? No, crazy.
I spoke with Richard Dimitri.
Dimitri, nice. Yeah, love that. Yeah, another Canadian.
Yeah. And we're talking about this. I don't remember. I think it was you said like, let me just find the right word. Those who get into church are usually victims in some way. They have this victim mentality. Yeah. For me, I had some difficulties. My parents were split up. They were divorced. And so I had some challenges, and it was easy to get in and being taken in by the new family, quote family. So that was probably it, why I chose it. And I felt, but even though I was a part of it, it was, oh man, that's a whole nother story.
It was bad. All right. It sounds like it was not great.
Yeah. So when I left it almost 3 years ago, it's the best thing that has ever happened. I took a step out, and it's difficult for me to contact. Well, I don't have a problem with contacting all of bandmates. I was playing in a rock band. We went to India. We did a concert there. Cool. So my identity was in the church. It was being in the church, playing guitar. And they're good at I wouldn't say abusing, but they're good at taking advantage of people and manipulating and so on. So yeah.
Manipulation is a form of abuse. I understand what you're saying. You don't want to use abuse to minimize somebody's experience, but they put you in a spot and they moved you through, and that's what they do, right? Lots of organizations do that, but churches are one of them for sure.
Yeah. So that's like, it was easier to go into church and feel being a part of a community and so on, but still like believing it. But after leaving, I left it. I started to see I didn't have to be paranoid about things. And if shit were going to happen, I would have to be ready for it. And when it comes to, I train traditional martial arts, I train Wing Chun, and I love it. And so since I've done a lot of things, and I've read books. I just finished Dangerous Personalities by Joe Navarro.
I like that. I read What Everybody's Saying.
I've read it as well. So I've increased my knowledge about violence and so on. And
that's the thing, right? So like Wing Chun is a good example. I used to make fun of Wing Chun. I used to make fun of Aikido. Then I had an old biker who took Aikido, beat the crap out of me because he understood the context of Aikido in a real fight. Same thing with Wing Chun. There's a guy here in Edmonton. His name is Robert Griffin. I don't think he teaches anymore. Actually, I don't know if he's here anymore. Anyways, that doesn't matter. He was a bouncer, and he Wing Chun'd his way through like 10 people because he knew the context of it, right? He wasn't doing a form. He used it in real life. And Wing Chun is so good at close quarter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So in a bar environment, your best options are a CQC system like Wing Chun or a grappling system, Greco-Roman, Judo, Jiu-Jitsu. They're really good and really close.
BJJ,
BJJ, nuts. Because ground and broken bottles and stuff. Yeah. I actually rolled over a broken bottle once because of a ground move. It's just different. It's still fine.
Yeah.
But like Wing Chun was like shockingly good. I used to mock him like, Wing Chun's stupid. And then he's like, bah, 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 bah. He's dropping dudes. I'm like, all right, show me some things. Right. So again, context is so important and knowing where it applies in the environment. But I think Wing Chun's a good one.
So, So we went into when I asked you about when I ask you to join my podcast, I think I mentioned something about reality. So, but we're at the subject of reality because. Yeah. The reality I see now versus the one I saw when I was in church, it's totally different. Most Christians believe that all people are good and you should forgive them. But there's been some really bad cases about people who were violent. They join. That's a problem in my opinion. People, you got violent people, they join church. God saves them, sets them free. But then they act out like.
Right.
There was one guy in the church I was part of. He had to go to jail because he attacked a couple. He was on some drugs of some kind.
Sure.
What do you call it? Like
amphetamine, a stimulant. Yeah,
stimulants. So
that's very dangerous.
What do you call it? If he attacks somebody from out of nowhere, what do you call it? Aggravated assault, I think.
Okay, yeah. Consider that he ambushed them and aggravated assault if he damaged them, right?
Yeah, but the guy that I punched, he attacked both. It was a couple. He attacked the guy And yep. he has hit his wife as well.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and starting to threaten. And that's from the church that I was a part of. And I don't even shake my head when I listen to some. It doesn't. People are. There are some shitheads around her. Yeah. But that's reality. Yeah.
I agree. I think you hit a good point there, which is everybody's reality is different, right? So when you're in church, your reality is one thing. Now you're out of church, your reality is a different thing. If you are a small female in Africa, your reality is different than a large male in Canada, right? Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that people understand is the solutions that, you know, your instructor shows you might just be what works for them. So I am 6'1", 173 centimeters. I'm not a small human being. And I'm like, 220 pounds. Like I'm a big guy. So when I go teach like a woman's self-defense seminar, I'm largely bigger than most people in the room. So I can't be like, so that's what I would do. You need to gain 150 pounds, shoot up like 5 feet, right? Like you can't do that, but you have to understand the reality. And this is one of the biggest, I would say, learning moments in my career was when the women, so I've always been a friendly, open coach, right? Like if you have a question, tell me, I do this thing, feel free to steal it. Anybody listening to this, take it. It's yours. I tell everybody they have, and this is explicit so I can swear. So if you had Dimitri on, I'm going to be fine. So I say everybody in the seminar has a bullshit flag in their pocket. Bullshit being they don't believe what I'm saying. So, and I always say like, I'll teach somebody like, all right, anybody throwing their bullshit flag? And then we'll have conversations because that's how I learn other people's realities, right? So I'm a straight, white, male, Canadian. I'm pretty friendly and outgoing. I don't have a lot of problem making friends or getting backup. That is a different reality for a shy, introverted human being. So when I first started teaching, it was, this is how to be mini Randy, which isn't a good way to teach. Now it's about what is your reality? Okay, so you are a single parents living in a low economic area, you don't drive, so you have to take public transit. Let's focus on that. How do we pay attention to public transit? How do we pay attention to doorways, alleys in your area? What are the common crimes? What are you gonna get picked for, right? Because what I'm gonna get selected for as for a crime is gonna be much different than even what you're gonna be selected for, Dak, right? Like you're in a different country, we have different backgrounds, we present differently. So what a predator or a person looking for social status is going to, or somebody just likes violence, what they are going to select me for will be different they select you for, be different what they select me for, be different what they select my wife for, my daughter, right? Like everybody's, each of these are going to select different things. So the one size fits all model, when it comes to self-defense, not martial arts. If you are passing on a system, pass on the system as is, that's cultural. But don't sell that as self-defense because it's not. That's what bothers me more. But you need to look at their reality. Like you said, you're in a church. This was your reality. Then you left your church. Now you have a new reality. The world didn't change, right? You just opened a different view screen, right? Like, boop, new window, new window. We have to look at people, understand that their backgrounds or history, their traumas are going to affect them, right? When we talk, I know I'm jumping all over the place. Sorry, Dag.
It's so fine. It's fine.
When we talk about freezing, for example, so cognitive freezing, people not being able to do stuff. I have a thing in the reality violence course. We talk about the trauma versus training slide. So the more you train, you freeze less and for less amount of time because your brain has touchstones to know what's going on, right? So if you've been in a ground fight and you've trained in the ground, if you get to the ground in real life, your brain's like, oh, I kind of know this, right? So you're not going to freeze as long. Trauma does the opposite. I don't know if you know anybody like that, but I have a client that I'm a loud guy. I have a client that if I raise my voice, she will shut down 100%. Because her trauma goes this way. Now we're training her. So it's actually getting better and better and better. But we're not even at like the regular human baseline yet, right? So people need to understand that, you know, maybe your course is tough and you think you build these warriors, but the people you're scaring off are the people that need this stuff the most. So you need to adjust to that and be aware of those things.
Yeah, and I had Melissa Salt on for, she was on my show last year.
Okay.
Was it last year? Yeah, I think it was last year. But I learned so much from talking with her, learning from her. And then, and I had some experience with teaching some women. I had this self-defense course. And what one problem in Norway, but just a side note, they don't want to pay for things. They don't want to pay at all. They want it for free. Anyways, but after I did it, it didn't work. I had this huge guy, he's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yep. He weighs about 200 pounds, I guess, or more. And he was pinning my arms. I was going to teach him how to do a buck and roll. It didn't work at all.
No.
And I totally agree with what you're saying, that those who are traumatized, they can get ticked off by, I know some, I have a relative who was being abused when she was a teenager, and she just froze, and it happens. Yeah. It still happens.
Yeah.
Especially, she told me this, when it comes to if she's been drinking, when you have alcohol in your system, and somebody's starting to touch you, and she tells me she's just freezing every time.
Well, and this is the thing that people forget. Again, we're going to go back to that winning. The word winning is very problematic to me. Mm. Surviving is your brain's goal. The method of survival doesn't matter. Mm. So her brain has reps in, if I don't do anything, I will live through this.
Yeah.
It's very hard to reprogram that, right? Mm. There's a saying we use in our group, which is you cannot survive wrong. Right. So if you are telling me the story, you did it, whatever it was. I don't care if your instructor, your parents, whatever, said you should have done something different. They weren't there. They don't know.
Precisely.
You cannot survive wrong. So she has this friend you were talking about. She has reps in her brain being like, yeah, maybe I should fight back. Maybe take a course, blah, blah, blah. But we've done this before. We have a touchstone. And doing nothing was the best option. So if it ever happens again, the best option is doing nothing. So she's going to keep freezing, and it's going to keep working in a survival basis, not an emotional health basis, on a physical health basis, but it's going to keep working in a survival basis, which is all your brain gives a crap about. Mm. So to get past that, she's going to have to do some deep therapy, or she's going to have to do some physical skill sets where she learns to get out of that mindset, which is going to be tough.
Mm. Yeah.
That's deep. That's deep in the brain, right?
And I had some other girls in... back when I was teaching, and I'm like you, I'm a friendly guy, and I asked him if you have any bad experiences with being raped or whatever, let me know, and I'll be careful.
Yeah,
I'll be cautious. I don't want to set things up, because I've learned about trauma, and I wish there was other instructors that I know that would learn about soft skills. Even though they might listen to my podcast, but they know what I feel about it. They know where I stand when it comes to this, because it's so fucking important, because it can damage more.
Right.
Yeah.
You do show notes on this thing? Do you like put notes in the description and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'll send this to you as well. I got to write this down, though, so I'll forget, because my ADD is brutal. I actually have a video of this, and I wrote a blog on it where trauma, we were talking about this. So I mentioned I teach a very diverse group of people. I teach the First Nations here. First Nations is a Canadian term for like the people that were indigenous to this area. So some people call them Native Americans. Indians is a slur term now, but the people that were in North America before white people came. So I teach them on a lot of the reserves, and the reserves are problematic. There's a lot of issues up there.
Yeah. I've heard, or I've done some, I think I've heard about it.
I won't go into it. There's a lot. If you had a Patreon, we would go into the really dark stories. You should get a Patreon.
I would get it. Yeah.
You should get some money off this thing. There was a lot of, there's a lot of horrific stuff that happens up there that changed my view on violence. So one of my like kind of touchstones to this is when I'm, so like next week or 2 weeks from now, I'm presenting to 50 lawyers. So I'm going to be doing like a boundary setting course for lawyers. And I'm going to drop subtly that I got stabbed like I did here, because it's part of my like thing. And they're going to be like, oh, when I'm on a reserve, I'm like, I got stabbed. Like, how many times? And then we trade stabbing stories. Like, that's exactly. Yeah. So it's a different place. Mm. Anyways, this is a really important thing when it comes to trauma in my experience. And why I asked about show notes is I'll send you the video in the blog if the listeners want to see it. It's pretty raw because I film it like right after I found out what happened. And I'm like a little teary and stuff. But I grabbed a guy. So on my journey becoming more trauma-informed, I kind of became sexist about it a little bit. I was very gentle with the women, but I didn't give a shit about the men. Does that make sense? Like, so like, oh, women and trauma and be careful and ask to touch them and da, da, da. And I'm like, dudes, they're fine. So I grabbed a dude. So here's all the mistakes I made. Mistake number one was I was a person in charge and these people were trying to be respectful. And the group I was working with were Cree, which is one of the tribes, and the tribes are so very different, personality, culture, etc. Because we lump them into one thing, they're different. And Cree are very polite people, so they listen very well, especially there's like an expert in the field. So I grabbed the biggest guy in the room because, you know, when you demo, you want to demo the biggest guy in the room to show that it works, blah, 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 blah. No. So I was like, hey, do you want to be my demo guy? He didn't want to, but he said yes. So I took that yes as a yes. I should have paid more attention, but again, right? So anyways, we're working through the course and we do like some stand-up stuff. We do some restraint removal. Then we do some ground stuff at the very end. So I grab the guy and I put him in a position and we start talking about this ground position, blah, 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 and how we're going to get out of it. He's acting weird, but I just, whatever. It's the end of the day. I think he wants to go home, blah, 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 blah. So I go home, I drive back. It's like a 6-hour drive because Canada is ridiculously big. So I drive 6 hours in the same province of home. And, The person that hired me gives me a text message. I traumatized this man so badly unintentionally. So his sister just died, I guess, a month before that. And I literally made him recreate the situation she died in. I put him in the position of the attacker. I was the defender. He had to simulate exactly how his sister died. And then I showed him how she could have got out of it, which obviously messed him up. So I have a video of this. This is why I'm bringing this up. I put myself raw on the internet about this because I need people to understand that instructors fuck up, but you need to learn from it. So I will send that to you, Dag, if you want to show it on the show notes where I watch the video and I'm pretty upset because I like literally I'm holding my phone again. There's not video. Me and Dag are on video. So I'm going to talk what's happening. I'm holding my phone right now. I was looking and reading and I just grabbed my phone and started filming. Just so people knew how bad it was. But trauma isn't gendered. Trauma isn't age-based. Trauma is trauma. Everybody has it or they don't have it. It's right. And something I had to learn the hard way. So if you're interested in that, we'll put that in the notes too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's important. As I said, it's so important.
Oh, yeah. So important.
To learn about it. And it's the most, to say, attractive self-defense systems in Norway, as far as I know, is Krav Maga.
Yeah.
And then I've seen some other stuff from urban combatives, which I don't. Well, that's another story. I've had Lee Morrison on for my show.
Right.
I guess they got some good things, but I don't like the head stomping thing that they're doing.
Well, and that's fair. And I think like, that's good, right? Because like we don't need poor clones, but their systems, like, and that's why in my head I separate into three categories. So category one is martial arts, which is like sport-based. It's about self-development and learning a culture. Yeah. There's two, which is combatives. Combatives is I don't give a care who you are, what you do, what your training is. I'm going to crush you. That's urban combatives. That's some Krav Maga. Some groups are getting better. KMG brings Rory and myself in a lot for better training. So there's some gyms that are evolving, which is good. And then last but not least, self-defense. And self-defense needs to be trauma aware. It needs to be size and strength aware. It needs to be situationally aware, right? Like if you taught a woman in a domestic abuse situation, urban combatives, yeah, she might beat the guy up once, but unless she leaves, all she's done is escalated this, right? All she's done is shown the abuser he has to hit her harder or use a weapon or whatever, right? There's going to be this natural escalation. So when you just look at, I think it's bad when somebody just looks at the physical skills. And again, if you're in the military or a cop, sure, do it, right? Crush them, whatever you want to do. I don't care. But when you're looking at like the segment of the population that I work with, civilians, who are in other situations, you can't be like, oh, just throat pop them. You're like, that's my brother-in-law. I can't throat pop them, right? Or that's my boss, or that's my whatever. You have to use other skills. And if you don't have an exit strategy in mind, then learning physical skills is just literally making the environment more dangerous, right? Yeah, if again, if, and I don't know Lee personally, I've heard him on some shows. He's good at what he does, which is teaching young men how to hurt other young men, which there is a market for and there is a place for. But for him to teach that to, again, if he goes like a domestic abuse shelter and he's like showing his stuff and any of those people use that without a plan to leave that situation, they're literally just in a more dangerous environment.
Yeah.
If they've made the decision to leave, then you see it up all day, headbutt, stomp, whatever, but never go back because you've escalated that situation so exponentially. And this is, a lot of the instructors get to play make-believe, right? They get to play this like, oh, you know, I'll teach them this and then, you know, they'll be safe. And they're not making people safer. They're making them more aggressive, which I guess is good.
Yeah.
They're making them more maybe assertive. They're teaching them how to damage a human, but they haven't actually made their lives any better because most of these instructors, like, I don't know how many classes you teach. I'm kind of on a rant here and I'm sure I'll get some hate mail, but send it, suckers. I love it. I think that these guys, and I don't want to use Lee particularly, but people in this industry, they get to like teach them their cool, like fantasy Rambo badass skills and then just never talk to them again.
Yeah.
And they feel like they've done something, right? Like, oh, now they're safer. No, they're not. They're more aggressive. You didn't teach them about the law. You didn't teach them how to stop. You didn't teach them about like when to put a choke off. You didn't teach anything. All you taught was how to murder a human being as fast as possible, empty hands.
Yeah.
And now you think you've done something and you have, maybe you've written some lies, people in shape. That's fine. But if you look at self-defense, that's not, you're not doing anything well, but they get to pretend they are. And that drives me crazy. I've had this debate in person, lots of instructors like that. And it always comes down to the same thing. Right? Well, you know, it's always going to come down to a physical altercation. Like, is it? Because we've coached lots of women out of bad situations where it didn't go physical because they didn't only have the tool of the skills. They had other things, right? Yeah. I have a, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I have a Patreon and I do a weekly Where Predators Hide segment. It's like an educational course talk about predators.
Nice.
And we did one on BDSM, which is like a sexual kink thing. Cause a lot of predators hide in that. They're DOMs. They get to hurt people. The subs don't know the rules. So they get to do all this crazy stuff. That one of the people on my Patreon watched that and actually left an abusive engagement because of it. No violence happened. There was no fight. There's no throat pop. She was like, what do I do? I'm like, do you have money? Do you have a place to go? Do you have a safe space where he doesn't know where you are? She said, yes, it was done. Zero violence. That's self-defense. Self-defense is having a good support structure. It's having good boundaries. It's knowing, it's having money in the bank if something goes wrong. It's having a good lawyer. There's so many things that aren't just physical, right? And that's why the education is so important. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's, I'm just recalling back to when I was in church.
Well, right.
I think I sort of got a bit paranoid training, like I'm training to protect myself. Somebody's out there to get me. And once I left it, I didn't feel assertive with training all this stuff because even though I should have been, but all this living in a fantasy world and then you mix the reality, the real reality. It turns out bad, but yeah.
I don't know how much you know about my backstory, but the reason I found Roy Miller's book was I was in a depression. So I thought I was king of the world. I got stabbed. How do I put it? I didn't almost die because he got me in the leg, but on the camera, they saw I was going for my neck. So I could have died. I didn't. I caught the arm, whatever. I was fine. I just have like a very barely noticeable scar on my leg now. I wish it was like cooler so I could show it off. It's not that good. But after that, I was like, martial arts is bullshit. This is all bullshit. Like I've been training my whole life. I was 22. So I had 12 years, Muay Thai, catch wrestling, Taekwondo, Filipino martial arts. I did all of it. And I almost died. So 165 pound crackhead, small dude. Like, I forget, I don't know what the kilos translation is, but like,
It's a half.
Okay. So like whatever, 85 pounds effectively. Almost killed me on a Wednesday night with all of my training. Some random dude with no training. So I got depressed. I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm done. I'm never training martial arts again. I'm over it. And then about a year later, I'm like, you know, I kind of miss it. I'll pick it up. I've always been a big reader. So I go to the bookstore and I find Rory Miller's book. And that's what put me on this path, because Rory said all the things that I experienced that was never told in a gym. You're going to freeze. Violence is different. It's closer. It's harder. It's more aggressive. All these things that no instructor ever told me before. And I've been taking arts forever. I've trained world masters. Nobody talked about it. And the reason why is the answers are squishy at best, right? You can't be like, this kick does this in the street. You just can't say that, because it will be proven wrong 9 out of 10 times. But in the drill, you can say this will do this, right? 70%, you can go higher. There's different numbers. 70% of victims of violent crime know their assailant. They know them.
Yes, that's true. Right?
At least 70, yeah. It goes higher and higher.
Yeah.
The reason why I think, and maybe I'm wrong, the reason why I think people will talk about that is, like I said, the answers here are squishy. It's not do kata six. It's not. It's this is your priest. This is your guidance counselor. This is your gym teacher. Yeah, this is your boss. You can't just bust their knee. And a lot of the people on the 70% side, they use a lot of their advantage, right? Oh, maybe I was creepy, but you weren't allowed to touch me. And then it becomes a civil thing or HR gets involved. Most of the world is talking about the 30% stranger danger, which is the easier solutions, because it's easy.
It's nicer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's less creepy, right? Like, you don't want to talk about grandpa touching your kid. You don't want to talk about that. But that's the shit that's happening, right? Yeah. Like, yeah.
I have a daughter. She will be 5 next year. I'm teaching her some hammer fist. And I'm teaching her more about boundaries, saying if somebody gives you a hug or tries to kiss you and cheek you don't like it, you say no. God's sake, you tell them no. And that's me, because I left church. But I'm going to teach my daughter to protect herself, because
you have to.
Yeah, I have to, because that's been my goal for the past, I don't know, years. Before she was born, I was going to teach her. Right. And then once I left church, it's easy for me to teach her all the stuff, teach her about reality, like how she can protect herself and set boundaries.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anybody to touch her without her consent.
The second, I have a daughter too, and it's luckily she's always lived in an environment of, like, you know, if you don't want to hug grandma, don't hug grandma, don't, you have body ton, blah 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 blah. And her confidence level is pretty good. I don't know if that's genetic, because my confidence level is also pretty good. But she definitely looks at the world differently, right? And that's the thing, is there's just so much socialization around. There's so much like, oh, we've known him forever, you should hug him or whatever, right? Like, and oh, I know your uncle's creepy, but just go on the fishing trip. And you're like, right? Like, if your kid calls and tells you stuff, you should listen to them. They're not idiots. They're paying attention, right? And if you teach them young to not trust their instincts, how can you expect them to trust their instincts when they're older, right? It's impossible.
Yeah, I heard a quote by Gavin DeBecker's book, Gift of Fear, saying, teach your kids that people aren't always nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Being nice is not good. It's not goodness.
No, exactly, right? Like, politeness, being charming, these are all tools that people use. They're not necessarily genuine, right? Like, and it's the way I like to look at it is, you know, fight for the world you want, but live in the world we have. So yeah, sure, maybe you want to be able to walk naked through the streets. That's fine. That's not the world we have. Fight for that. Go to the protest. Do everything you can do to change the world to the vision you want, I guess. But don't blind yourself to the reality of what's going on out there, right? Like, yes, you should be able to go to a bar and not have to watch your drink. I agree. That's not the world we have, right? So fight for it, but realize where you're living. And I think that's a very good balance, in my opinion, of keeping yourself safe without driving yourself crazy. Because that's an issue with self-defense as well, is a lot of instructors by accident are making people terrified and paranoid. They're freaking them out.
Yeah. That's what I believe as well.
And it's not helping. So when I do a seminar, one of my favorite, like, stupid jokes is, hey, you all got here today, right? They're like, yeah. I'm like, how many muggers you run into? They're like, none. I'm like, cool. Any rapists? Anybody? No. Right. Because on average, you're probably not going to bump into this. This might be a one-time thing, a two-time thing, unless you're in a domestic abuse cycle or whatever. Right. Yeah. So the odds of you actually using this stuff are low. And that's how a lot of instructors get away with just selling BS. because the people are actually never going to have to use it. So there's no fact check. There's no backstop on it, which in my opinion becomes a problem because the people I know and the people I train do have to use it and they're in bad situations, right? Like we talk about the sex worker community I work with. The reason why I work, this is a snapshot of the industry if you're ready. And maybe it's just Canada. The reason I have so many sex worker clients is because one sex worker worked with me and I didn't creep on her. That's it. I didn't creep. I didn't say like, let's exchange services, ha, 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 or hit on her. Mm. And because of that one thing, I could be teaching garbage. I would still have the same amount of sex worker clients because I wasn't the creep when they came in the room. So she told her friends told her friends, oh, if you want to train, there's this dude who's not a creepy weirdo. You should learn these skill sets, right? But that's the snapshot of the industry is these women are like, look, I'm in a vulnerable population, right? I'm a sex worker. I'm in secondary crime locations. I'm meeting strangers from the internet. Can you teach me how to fight? And they're like, only if you do this. Like, that's so icky.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is the thing is people need to understand that, like, even martial arts instructors, even the self-defense instructors, there's some wolves in sheep's clothing hiding. There's a story every week about an instructor groping or whatever, right? So that's one of my issues. And we talk about boundaries in our kids. That's one of the things I told my daughter. I'm like, even if a teacher, even if the president or the prime minister of the country comes and freaks you out, you tell them to go away. Because this eminence-based predation is bad. Right? Oh, let me take you for a private lesson. Wink, wink, when nobody's here. Wink, wink. And then they do whatever, right? Yeah. It's just icky all around the board.
Yeah. Dang. These are some heavy subject to
it is.
Barely stretch on the surface. But I love getting it from another view, like hearing it from another side. And what I've come to, I realized that all the best, say, experts, or they are from outside of Norway, apparently. that's just how it is. Well, there's some great guys in Norway, too. Don't get me wrong. But most of them that I talk with are talking about things that the Norwegians don't want to talk about.
Right.
Say 80% of the cases.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's how you're going to make money, right? You can't be talking about stuff. Like, I'm very lucky that I can go to multiple markets and I have a big following and whatever. Not big enough. Follow me, everybody. But I have enough people that I can talk about this stuff without losing my business. But if I run a local gym and people in my culture aren't talking about this and I'm talking about it, I'm probably not going to have people there. So that becomes an issue. But I think, that's kind of my identification. Like, if you look at, I think, because you had, again, Richard on the show. I mean, Richard are friends. Richard is one of the prime examples of like went from tough guy, murder, Lee Morrison type stuff to, and again, Lee, I love you. If you listen to the show, I'm not picking on you, buddy. I'm just saying that's your material. To very trauma aware, very like victim based, very like, because in my opinion, I think it's because he worked with those people, right? And a good instructor is going to check their program against their clients. Not all instructors do that. They're just going to keep giving the material and ignore what's actually happening. And so that's why I think you're seeing an evolution. I guess Norway's not quite there yet, but there's an evolution in the industry here, at least in North America, of looking more towards trauma-based, looking more towards soft skills, looking more towards other stuff. And actually I saw that when I was in Germany 3 or 4 years ago. I've been there twice. When I was in Germany, the Germans didn't want anything to do with soft skills. They didn't want to hear about communication. They're like, show us how to hurt somebody. I'm like, cool. This is the Lee Morrison group. That's why Lee does so well. So in my experience, the European side of things really wants the physical skills. Here, we're getting a lot more people like mixed martial artists being like, hey, how do I de-escalate? Right? Like, and it's just an interesting cultural switch.
Yeah, I think at least I'm getting the knowledge I can to create the, how to say, paradigm shift. Yeah.
And that's what you need. And you're doing good. Look at you. You got a show like this. You're bringing on instructors to talk about this kind of stuff. You're doing exactly what you need to do, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because this needs to be talked about.
Yeah, it does. And I don't care if I have 1,000 followers. Yeah. I don't care. I can always go to my analytics and say, and get bummed about, well, my show didn't hit that spot. But I've had almost 10,000 plays off the show, like in total. But I don't,
amazing.
So it's, but it's, but it takes time to build up. It,
of
I've
course,
been doing this for almost 3 years now, and
right,
at least I have, and I've had 70 plus shows or episodes.
Wow.
Or yeah, some of them I had to split up, but even though like 70, so I had about 70 guests. So it's amazing. And
and that's the thing, right? Like, it's social media is all about likes and attention or whatever, but Dag, you don't know who you're reaching. There might be one, you might have made the difference, and you don't even know, right? You might have four listeners, but of those four listeners, three of them changed their lives. This is one of
that's
the,
my goal. That's my goal.
Right?
That's my goal.
Good.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the biggest myths of social media is more followers equals more success, and it doesn't. There's a really amazing TikToker named Instructor Benson. He has over 1 million followers. Friend of mine, good guy, good kid, very, very talented. He's not booking seminars. He's not, right? Like, where I have almost 10,000 followers on Instagram, but I'm booked up all year, right? So, like, it's about the difference you make, and it's that quality, not necessarily quantity. Mm-hmm. Ben will blow up eventually. He's going to do really well for himself once he has that program figured out. And 1 million eyes is 1 million eyes. That's awesome. Or I guess 2 million eyes, technically. But the difference is in like the one or two people, right? Like my Patreon has like maybe 40 people on it. It's not crazy, but that one person left a bad relationship because of it. I'm like, well, we did it, right?
Yeah, precisely.
So I think that's really important. It's, you don't know who you're reaching with this stuff. And I know how much work goes into booking these things and editing them and putting them up. And right, like this stuff isn't easy. And I'm sure you're not making a killing off of it because podcasting is hard, right?
Yeah.
You're doing this to make a difference. And that's super.
That's what I do. And that's what I've started. Just as, I started after leaving church and.
Right.
That's
awesome. I think it's super important. It's good you're having these conversations. And maybe, who knows, maybe you'll be the paradigm shift, right? Like, we're not all going to be Joe Saunders. Joe is killing it. He has so many people on that thing. Yeah. But maybe you become the person in Norway that's the first person that makes a shift, right? Or you start to assemble your Avengers effectively of people that already are thinking like this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.